Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chaf Hey. So in yesterday's daf, there was Machlok Shem Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, if you have a broken kli, what the status is of Muxer. Meir holds that as long as there's any way you can use that broken piece for anything, Me'in Malacha, then it's not a Muxer problem. But Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to still be usable Me'in Malachtan. It has to still be usable for the original function of the kli that it was used for before it had broken. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa that may or may not relate to this Machlok. As the Braisa talks about, Tanru Yashan Harein Kukala Kelim Anitalim B'chatzer Divra Rameir. Rameir holds broken pieces of an old oven are not mukta, but Rabbi Yehuda Amar Eini Talin. Rabbi Yehuda holds a broken piece of an old oven are mukta. So there are three ways to explain the machlokas, one of which relates to this discussion of Rameir Rabbi Yehuda. Abayi says, Ba'osin mein melach vein osin mein melach tan kabifli. They're arguing exactly about this. Broken pieces that are useful, but not useful as an oven, as something that can actually cook. So is that good enough to take away the mukta status? Rava says, no, that is not the explanation, because the Braisa then wouldn't have to speak about an oven. The same would be true of broken pieces of any kli. Why would you dafka talk about a tanur? So the Gemara Rava suggests a second explanation of this machlokas. Bishivrei dahai tanur kamifkli. This is somewhat complicated discussion, but Rava holds it's about the broken pieces of an oven whose status as a kli is subject to a machlokas even while it's still intact, whether it's considered a kli or not. A certain oven that was placed over a hole in the ground, where the mouth of the oven is over a hole in the ground, if it's not attached to the ground, the very first time it's heated up, Rabbi Yehuda holds it never became a kli, and is therefore not mekabel tuma, and when it breaks, it's certainly not a kli, and is therefore going to be muktza. Rabbi Meir holds it does become a kli when it's heated up, and therefore can be mekabel tuma, and that's why when it's broken, its pieces would not be muktza. So that's the second suggestion. Ravashi says, no, that can't be pshat either, because instead of arguing about a broken oven, why don't they just argue about it while it's still functional, while it's still in one piece? You have the same machlokas, whether it's a kli or not. So Ravashi says, the third possibility of machlokas is about broken pieces of an oven that are osa maisa tafka. They can be used to heat, they can be used as heated tiles to bake a dough on these heated tiles. So Rabbi Meir says that even Rabbi Yehuda should agree to him that that's still called me'in malachtan. Meaning they're not arguing about me'in malachtan over here, they're arguing about the definition of me'in malachtan. That even you who think you need me'in malachtan, says Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Yehuda, should agree this is called me'in malachtan because it does cooking, it does baking, it just does it in a slightly different way, horizontal versus vertical, from the outside versus the inside, and Rabbi Yehuda says, nothing doing, I'm not mode, that's not called main malachtan. Mishnah then goes on to talk about Evan, Shabikura, Shemuria, Shikshura, Betafiach, two cases, something muksa is attached to a kli, a stone attached very well into a dried shell that's used for drawing water, or a vine that's tied to a pitcher. Both become part of the kli and are therefore not muktza once they're connected to the kli. So the Mishnah we're going to see later on Daf Kuf Mem Beis is going to tell us that if you have a barrel with a stone on top of it, so you can lift the barrel and move it to a safe spot, and you could tilt the barrel so the stone will fall off. And everybody agrees that's only true bishocheach. If you forgot the stone on top of the barrel, then it doesn't become a bas davar aser, and you're not allowed to move the rock, but you are allowed to move the barrel and tilt the rock. What happens though if maniach, if you put the stone on top of the barrel? So then the two opinions go to the opposite extremes. Rabbah holds that if you put it there, the barrel becomes a bustle davar aser, and therefore not only you're not allowed to move the rock, you're not even allowed to move the barrel. Rav Yosef says, no, if you put it there, then the stone becomes a kisa l'chavis, it becomes a covering, so it becomes a kli in its own right, and therefore even the stone's not muktza. So Gemara explains, the basis of the machlokas is, how do you take something that's muktza and make it into a kli? Mar savar binan maisa, so Rabbah in the name of Rabbami holds that you need to do a maisa, a real act on it to turn a rock into a kli. Just deciding you want to use it as cover for a barrel is not good enough. Umar Savalo bin and Maisa of Yosef, in the name of Ravasi holds, you don't need an actual serious act to turn the rock into a kli. And the Gemara explains that Rabbi Ami and Ravasi have the same machlokas in trying to figure out what kind of Maisa Rebbe held was necessary to take a row of stones and use them instead as seats on Shabbos when he went to a new place on Shabbos. Rabbi Ami held that he just had to arrange them, which is a significant act. Rabbi Yossi held that he had to arrange them, apparently arranging them is a significant act. Rabbi Yossi held they only had to be wiped down, which is somewhat of an insignificant act. An alternate version of the story has that Rebbe allowed either a stack of beams or a pole that they used to measure the depth of the ocean when they were traveling on a ship with minimal action, he was matir those items. So Mandam Rasavra al Vagashish Kapitale, the opinion that says Rebbe was matir a stack of beams with very minimal preparation would hold that he would not have said the same thing about the pole, because the pole may be muksa machmas chesron kis, because it's something that they would never use for anything else. They don't want to ruin the pole. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Zmurashik Shura. Mishnah allowed moving a pitcher that had a vine tied to it it, implying that if it weren't tied onto the pitcher, then you wouldn't be allowed to handle that vine. So the Gemara first suggests that that must be against Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, who doesn't require palm branches to be tied together in order to turn them from firewood to something that you're allowed to use for sitting. But then the Gemara says, no, there are two possible reasons that even Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel may require the vine to be tied in order for it to be no longer mukse. Either b'mechuberes bavia, the vine is still attached to the ground and is therefore not a problem of using mechuber lekarka, since it's within three and it happens to not be a problem of using mechuber lekarka, since it's within three tvachim of the ground, and you're allowed to be mishtamish be'ilan within three tvachim of the ground. Or the second possibly, gzeresh amiyiktum. The concern with the vine is you might cut it shorter if it isn't tied on. And then the daf concludes. We didn't get to it today about we started kaka chalon. The Mishnah has a machlokas whether we can use a shutter that isn't hanging from the window. So the Gemara explains that everybody agrees einos and ola rai betchila. You're not allowed to make a new temporary structure on Shabbos and Yantif. The whole machlokas is mosif and ala ola rai. They argue whether you can add to an existing structure on Shabbos and Yantif. Bez Hashem, we'll discuss that tomorrow.